Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
We gotta record this. Okay, so everybody, listen to this. So Batum came in today with the new Lob haircut, first of all.
Yep.
Yeah, it took me about 20 minutes to notice. But
it took her a full week to notice.
You've had that cut for a week?
Yeah. It's not good.
Really?
Yeah. Right when we got back from tour.
Really? Okay. Anyway, so she came in today, and normally she's got like these flowy, like sarongy kind of outfits on. But today, it's like a blazer, skinny jeans,
skull t-shirt.
Yeah, and like it's new professional hairdo. What's happening here?
Mascara.
Oh! Oh, my God! What are you thinking of quitting?
No.
Are you just getting a boost of self-esteem? Or what's happening?
She's in love.
She's been in love forever, though.
Yeah, I've been in love for a while.
No,
well...
What's
I needed the haircut. I wanted the haircut. And then with the haircut...
Because we went from hippie to, like, the haircut, yuppie overnight.
The haircut inspired... I was like, the haircut's cute. Maybe I'll put some makeup on to go with my new cute haircut.
Yeah.
So now I have makeup on with my new cute haircut. Uh-huh. I can't roll in the pajamas because it just doesn't really go with the makeup and my new cute haircut.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah. Thanks.
Keep it going.
Does it mean something, though?
No. Well, no.
Are you sure?
Well, you know, I'm trying to be a grown-up.
That's really, it's overrated.
Grown-ups get dressed for work.
I don't. And look at me. I'm in my pajamas.
I know, but you're a special case.
Look at Andy. And Andy's in her fitness situation with her big old pregnant belly. No, it's not big.
It's big. It's really fine.
Not. It's getting bigger, girl.
Look at it.
Anyway, yeah, it's just hanging out.
Beautiful.
That is a baby, right?
Yeah, it's a baby.
Not drinking too much?
No.
Good to know. All right, yeah, go on. Look at us. We're established and we're quite casual.
Yes, but you are the brand. You can do whatever you want as a representative of your brand.
Mm-hmm. Michelle processing this. Uh-huh.
I feel I should probably try on a semi-regular basis to look a little bit more professional.
Respect. Like it.
Really? I feel a little, I'm not gonna, I feel a little threatened.
Well, look, don't.
I feel a little.
Don't get too worried.
I'm just feeling a little, like, are you looking for other bosses? What are you trying to do here? Like, are you trying to, who are you trying to impress?
You never know.
Oh my God. Oh, wow. My God. Did you see what happened?
Yeah.
Did you see what just happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. It got a haircut.
Yeah. And it wants it upward mobility.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Julianne, don't get threatened.
No.
I feel a little fine. All right. I actually have a segment I'd like to do. Are we ready? This is big. This is a big deal, and I'm going to tell you why. If you follow my Facebook, you may have seen that I had a bit of a kerfuffle. A thing happened to me at the Rijksmuseum Museum in Amsterdam.
Yes.
An outrageous thing, mind you. So let me preface this by saying this segment actually, like, all kidding aside, I thought about making it an I'm too famous for this because what happens is absurd, but it actually has a real significant point and a message. So I don't know. I might be I'm too famous. I'm not sure, but I really need you guys to think about and process what we're going to discuss. So here's what happens. Go to Amsterdam. I've always wanted to go. I really didn't have any expectations of the Dutch. I was like, they like their cheese. They've got great healthcare. They seem like a pretty accepting people. The hookers have a 200-page rule book to make sure they stay healthy and safe. And, you know, they tax the crap out of marijuana. And because of this, everybody has healthcare.
Yep.
It seems like, you know, they've got their stuff together. And let me tell you, they do. I get off the airport. The taxi at the airport is a Tesla. Like, all the lights at the hotel are on timers. Like, they're extremely green. Everything is organic there. Like, they take it all very seriously. And as I said, they take very good care of their people. And I was like, this is really... Meanwhile, the country is the size of a thimble compared to America. So it's obviously a lot easier to get it together when you're managing something a bit smaller. But they really seem, in my opinion, from the outside, like they've got it together, right?
Right.
Anyway, so I had no other expectations. I was just like, awesome, they like cheese, and, you know, this is going to be fun, and the city's hundreds of and thousands of years old, and I've always wanted to see it, and cool. So I start to notice little things, like, with regard to service. I've mentioned this before, but, like, in Europe, they don't really tip, and therefore the service isn't the same as in America, and you kind of are like, well, this is just the way that it is. It's the culture, and in America, you expect service. That's not the way things are here. And you kind of think, all right, is it me or is this the culture? So now, as I begin to really pay attention, I'm starting to notice it's us. It's Heidi and I. And we're experiencing things like this. So we'll walk into a restaurant where we have a reservation. And I'll go, hi, how are you? We have a reservation. And I'm extremely cognizant of the fact that people don't like Americans, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm always feeling like I'm trying to backpedal and make up for this. And I'm overwhelmingly like, sweet and patient and calm, and I'm in your country and I'm following your culture, and I'm so anti-Jillian. It's like I go in, we have a reservation, and they're like, uh-huh, what's the name? And they hear your American accent, and you're like, oh, it's Michael's. Can you take a seat at the bar? And I'm like, sure. Is the table ready? Or I'll go check. Right behind us will come in a Dutch couple, speaking Dutch, which fair enough, of course. And they immediately take their jackets, haven't taken our jackets. Would you like to come up? And I'm like, wait a minute. We're here. Our reservation's at 9:00. And I look at the thing. Their reservation is at 9:00. They take them immediately upstairs, seat them by the window. We go upstairs 10 minutes later, and there are two tables in the corner. Which would you like? So I'm like, all right, that's fine. But this is constant there. So like another of that bakery, what would you like? I'm like, oh, may I have a scone, please? No, they don't respond back, but they'll get the scone. And then you're like, would you mind? Could you heat it up? Because of course, a scone that's not heated up is rock hard. And they're like, ugh. So they're, ugh, right? Like this. So they put it in the microwave, and then they just don't give it back to you. So 5 minutes later, I go up to another woman, and I'm like, do you mind, can I just get my scone? And she goes, scone? Scone? And I was like, it says scone. It says scone in your bakery window. But this has been going on and on, so I'm getting irritated, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you got it, a scone. And Heidi's like, oh, crap. Because she can see that I'm starting to get really sick of it. Because it's like every other interaction is hostile.
Yeah.
So we go to the Rijksmuseum Museum. And this museum is like their little version of the Louvre. Okay. Mind you, it's not nothing is the Louvre, but it's like their version of the Louvre. Autumn buys my tickets online for me because it says if you buy your tickets online, you don't need to wait in the queue. Being American, I don't want to wait in the queue.
So we buy our tickets online. I go up and I'm like, hi, and I show my tickets, and she goes, you need to get in line. And I'm like, well, we bought our tickets. Mm-hmm. We bought our tickets online, so we don't have to get in line. We can't scan these. So I was like, well, why would you sell? Get in line. Mm-hmm. So I get in line. I wait 30 minutes. And she goes, oh, you could have just gone to ticket one and we would have just swapped it out, which of course, no. So I'm thinking, all right, maybe the one upstairs didn't know about the line one. So we start walking around and we're looking at things, and Heidi's standing in such a way where she's kind of like on the ball of her back foot and her weight is on her front foot, and people keep kicking her. Hmm. And she's like, are you getting kicked? And I'm like, no, I'm not. What are you talking about? And she's like, they're kicking me. And I was like, no, honey. And she's like, I'm being kicked. So I go across the room and I'm like, I'm going to watch this, right? So I watch, and sure enough, two employees in black blazers, right? Because they're like making sure people don't touch the, kick her foot. Like they're not tripping.
On purpose?
Yes. So I'm just like, what is happening right now? Like I'm trying to kind of like, I'm just sort of like, what? And by the way, another thing like that they'll do, you'll be sitting at a bar. So like the night before I was sitting at a bar and I was so excited and we're in this like 500-year-old bar and it's small and they'll come and like push you, like lean against you so you sort of fall off your seat.
What?
So they'll make you super uncomfortable so you'll move. And one guy, like this one guy, I was like, I'm so done with this, because like they'll walk into you, they'll shove you. I was like, I am so done with this that I just literally like put all my weight against him. And I was like, you know what, dude, we're going to spoon before this night is over. I am not moving from this chair. And I could feel him getting a little uncomfortable. So he starts to separate, but it was almost like a stare down. He had his shoulder blade to my shoulder blade. And I was like, I will place my head in your armpit.
Yeah.
And you will hold me like I am your sweet baby before I give you my bar stool, you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's like a weird thing, right? So I'm like, it's very territorial. So I'm like, all right. And it happens after they hear you talking and they know you're an American. So anyway, it's time to go. We're just like, all right, maybe this is, they don't have a space thing here, like a personal space thing, or we're just trying to process it all. So I go and I'm waiting. We're going to coat check. All of our stuff is at coat check. It's time to leave. There are three windows lined up. The one in the center is a large section where people are turning their coats in. There's one to the right and there's one to the left. Now, my ADD, there's nothing going on at the left, and at the little one on the right, I see people getting their jackets. So I queue up. I get in line. I get to the front, and they go, sorry, this is for groups only to get their coats back. And I go, I just saw a few people get their coats back. No, they're members that weren't in like a group, right? A tour. They're members. I go, oh, okay, well, where do I get? Mind you, there's one coat check. But I go, okay, where do I get my coat? Down there at the left window. I go down to the left window. There's no one in line. So I'm like, okay. I go, hey, sir, can I get my my stuff? And I give him my little tag. No, go down there. Mm. Now I'm like, wait, what is going on here? So I was like, well, wait, she just told me to come down here to you. No. So I turn around and I go to walk, which, by the way, there's now a whole new line. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to wait around. And I look back, and the guy gives a woman her bag. So I walk back, and I go, why did you just give her bag? And he's like, she just needed something out of her bag. And I go, well, I just need my bag, period. You don't even need to make the return trip. I just need my bag. No. And I go, sir, you are going to get my bag because you are currently in possession of my things. He goes, no, I'm not. And he goes to take my tag away from me. So now I reach out, I clutch the tag, and I go, I'd like to see a manager. No. I go, and I'm just sitting there, I'm like, is there a camera on me? Like, is Ashton going to jump out and be like, ha, 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 ha? Like, you know, it's a joke. So I was like, what's your name? He takes his name tag off and runs into the back. And I'm like, how is this happening?
Oh, my God.
Security comes over. Oh. And security's like, what's going on here? And I'm like, I would love to know. I'm like, I don't know how you guys run this establishment, but I need my things. Ugh. And he's like, what do you mean, you guys? I'm like, the employees of this museum. That's what I mean when I say you guys. I need my things. What window do I need to go to get my things? There are only three. And Heidi then goes up to this woman in the center. And she's like, can you do me a favor? We really need to go. And, you know, we have a Skype. She pulled the kid card. She's like, we have a Skype with our kids in a few minutes. And I really just need my things, please. So this woman gives her, and I go, I'd like to speak to the manager. So the manager comes over and he's like, yes. And his name is Nick Post, right? So I go, okay. I'm like, Nick, look, I don't know what's going on. And I was like, but I try to get my things back for like 30 minutes. I'm trying to get my things back. And he's like, well, you just clearly had a misunderstanding. And I go, well, was I in the wrong line? Like the guy's line, right? And I go, is that the line? He goes, yes, but you jumped the line. I go, no. I'm like, there was a queue and I waited in it. Then I went over there as instructed and there was no line. Well, obviously, you're just very confused. Wow. So I look at the guy and I'm like, I look at him in the eye and I'm like, all right, I get it. And he gives me this look like, that's right, you American bitch. Oh. Right? He looks at me and I was like, I get it. Oh. I get what's going on here. And I was like, all right, I'd like to fill out a complaint. And he's like, uh-huh, don't worry, they'll get it. And at this point, I'm so pissed. And I go, you know what? I'll make sure they get it. So on Facebook, I was like, I have never. And I have traveled the world. I've been to the Middle East when I was visiting the troops. But nevertheless, I have been to Qatar, Abu Dhabi, Jordan. I mean, I have been all over the world, all different parts of Europe where they stereotypically hate Americans. I have been all Africa, India, Europe, the Middle East. I've been all over Australia, New Zealand. I've been all over the world. I've been on every continent for the most part. And I have never experienced anything like it. So I go, and the reason I'm actually bringing this up is because I put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've never experienced anti-Americanism like I did at this museum. Because I was like, you know what? You're not going to get away with this. It's not cool. If you're going to behave like this, that's fine. But I am going to put you on blast. And I started to look at the comments. And a woman was like, now you know what it feels like to be black in America. Another one was like, now you know what it feels like to be Latin and have everyone call you Mexican. Another lady was like, now you know what it feels like to be Muslim and have everyone think you're a terrorist.
Wow.
And it went on and on. And by the way, it was Super Bowl Sunday here, which I didn't even realize. And there were over 1,000 comments on the post.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was, and then people are like back and forth of like, well, I've always experienced the Dutch as being lovely. And I was like, I didn't say it was the Dutch. Mm-hmm. It was definitely more than I've ever experienced in any country. Mm-hmm. And it was 50-50 down the middle of like one person. And they were no one was lovely with us. Not one person was lovely. They would be civil. But nobody would be like, lovely, how are you? Hello? Nobody.
And in hospitality, too, you'd think that regardless?
They don't have really a hospitality culture, which I understand. But nobody was just like warm. Like if you'd have an interaction where you'd purchase something. And that's... But then I'd watch them with other Dutch people, and I could tell it was like, oh, thank you, all good, have a nice day. Like, you can see the human interaction. And I was like, okay. And the reason I bring this up is because I think that it's very easy. And you know something? I get it. America is not a perfect country. I don't think that it is. What I can tell you here, though, is that we are notoriously known to have a 50-50 divide on damn near every issue. So when you may have something that you don't like about a culture, I promise you there are 50% of the people in this country that don't like that very thing as well, no matter what it might be. And when you judge somebody based on their skin color, their religion, their country of origin, their gender identity, their sexual preference, you have completely cut off an ability, quite honestly, to make a new friend.
Mm-hmm.
Why... No. Oh, my God.
I mean, I have no tolerance for this because this is about bullying. And
it is about bullying. You're right.
And disrespecting people for their differences. And that hit a nerve with all your Facebook followers because everyone has experienced being treated unfairly at some point or another because of who they are. And this is unacceptable, especially for adults to be behaving this way. And, you know, I'm sitting here boiling.
I just think, why judge a person? Oh, I'm going to get Heidi on the phone. I wanted to talk about being kicked. And it was so funny because she's like, I'm a good person. Why are they kicking me?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Honey?
Yeah?
Hello, Mouse.
Hello.
Honey, can you please tell everybody how you were kicked at the museum?
Well, I just have a tendency to stand on one leg and, like, kick one foot back just a little bit, like, and rest the tip of my toe on the floor. And so people would just walk by and then kick my foot.
Have you stood like this for the majority of your life?
Yeah.
Have you ever had issues standing that way?
No.
Have you ever been kicked for standing that way?
I don't think so.
Have you ever been
kicked? Maybe in a crowded place, but it wasn't crowded.
Have you ever been kicked repeatedly for standing that way?
No.
No. What's your take on it, honey? How did it make you feel?
Well, I thought maybe they had a spatial awareness problem at first.
We did, too. We were like, yeah. Maybe there's like a personal space issue? Like, go on, honey, go on.
But then when it kept happening, I was like, this can't be a coincidence that all of these people have this problem. And I think their problem is Americans. It's not spatial awareness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. And how does that make you feel, Mouse?
You know, I was just like, whatever. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Whatever, by the way, I was incensed. She was whatever, and I was incensed, and she's like, forget it. This manager doesn't care. He's not going to file the complaint. And I was like, this is a matter of principle. It's wrong.
Because I just thought, you know, we had a limited amount of time there. Why waste a half an hour dealing with these people when they really aren't going to care? They're not going to do anything. They just think you're crazy and you're wrong. So
they don't think we're crazy and we're wrong. They just think, ha ha, I've irritated you.
Right.
And I don't like you, stupid American.
Mm-hmm. So why let them like realize that they affect you?
Because in my opinion, you need to stand up for what's not right. Mm-hmm. And I would say that if every black person, I can't even begin, please, I shouldn't even compare this to racism back in the day. So I'll just say now, because racism is far more subtle and subversive these days. And I see it with my own kid, but I see it with my friends who, you know, they'll go to like a department store and they'll go to buy one thing and then they'll go to get their parking validated and someone will say to them, you didn't need to buy that just to get your parking validated. Like they're cheap. But I could do the same thing and it would never happen. You know what I mean? It's far more subversive. But I think that you got to stand up to that. I think it's wrong. Mm-hmm. I think it should be called out. I think it should be exposed. I think we should look at any sort of, and you know, we've all been guilty of this to a certain degree. And I told a story about how there were these Orthodox Jews at the OBGYN's office when Heidi was pregnant. And I thought for sure, because we were a same-sex couple, that they were going to be judging us. And I forgot my wallet. And the woman came running over and stopped me and was like, you forgot your wallet. And I was like, God, you're an ass, Jillian. You are an ass. The person who's an ass here is you. The person who made the judgment was you. And I try to be really conscious of that, but I just think we should get real about the opinions we make. And yes, you know what? There are certain cultures that definitely may gravitate towards things you don't like. But it doesn't mean that every individual in the country feels the same way.
Yeah.
Or every individual from that area, that color, that ethnic group, that this or that. Judge, I think we can judge people once they've presented their true selves to you as an individual. And then the judgment comes from, I don't like that person. I don't want to hang out with them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're less than you, but if you don't personally enjoy their company, by all means, then you can say, I have assessed this individual. I don't like them. I don't want to hang out with them. But it doesn't give you the right to kick them, shove them, hold their things,
mm-hmm.
or not serve them, like when you're when they need their things out of coat check, for God's sake.
Right. Yeah. Right. And the whole challenge is standing up for yourself without losing your cool, because that's the hard part. I mean, I would be incarcerated over there because I have a hard time witnessing that type of treatment. But, you know, you are, I think it is good to stand up for yourself, but you have to do it in a way that empowers you and doesn't make you look like
crazy.
But
did I not stay calm, honey? Was I totally calm?
Yeah, you were pretty calm.
I was placid.
Good job.
I was so calm.
Yeah,
Well, first of all, I have Botox in my forehead, but there wasn't so much as a facial expression. I was dead calm, and because on purpose, because I was like, I am not going to give you the right to be like, look at that loud, obnoxious American.
Good.
But then the museum was like, oh, you know, they tweeted me what happened. I'm on Twitter, right? I'm sitting here direct messaging them like. And they're like, yeah, we'll look into it, and then just never got back to me.
Mm.
Never got back to me. And I was like, that's disgusting. Shame on you. You're a museum.
Mm.
A museum. So really, I just think after reading all the things that other people wrote about how they feel judged and persecuted by their religion or their ethnicity.
Wow.
Honestly, please. We all have these prejudices. I know that we do. We wouldn't be human if we didn't have it. We are intrinsically afraid of differences. It's primal in one another. But give somebody a chance. Give them a chance. And don't judge them based on a sweeping generalization or a stereotype, because then the person who's a jerk is now you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, Mouse?
That's correct.
It's a good reminder that we all need to be kind to one another and treat people with respect.
Yeah, you're right.
It's that simple. It's just, you know, you don't have to like someone, but you don't ever treat someone that way. It's
See, not, you're exactly right, Michelle. That is what it is. It's mutual respect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's sad that it's still not out there, especially in adults. Shame on you.
Shame. Yeah. Oh! Well, I'd like to elaborate on one more thing then, because you bring up the adult thing. Babe, did you ever see what I posted something else on my Facebook. Did you ever see this, honey? It was a dad. So this guy adopted, because you bring up bullying. So, boy, Michelle, good luck editing this segment. It's going to go on for an eternity. So this dad posts on Facebook. He's adopted a little girl from Africa years ago. She's like a teenager. And other girls in her class are sending Snapchats to her. And they're using the N-word, and they're calling her slut, and, you know, the Snapchat thing. So for those of you who don't know what a Snapchat is, if you don't have a teenager, a Snapchat is a little video that you send that disappears, right? It disappears after you watch it, doesn't it?
Yeah, you can make it disappear, yeah.
Michelle, you're a millennial.
Yeah, I mean, I'm too old for Snapchat. I really am. That's like,
I don't even understand Snapchat.
Yeah, it's huge. It's so you can send naked pictures of your parts and then they disappear.
Well, that's not what they were doing. They were using it to bully. Anyway, the dad captures the fourth Snapchat with his cell phone, right? And he goes to these kids' father. And the father is like, you N-lover, you're a fag, and like starts saying all this stuff. So he captures that on his answering machine, and he goes on Facebook. And he makes a video, and he's like, you know what? I don't know where else to go with this. This guy says he's happy to share his opinion with the world, and his name, here he is. And the guy got fired from his job.
Good.
He went into rehab, by the way. And the two girls that were bullying got removed from the state. But the reason I bring this up is because the point is that that behavior is taught. It is taught by the parents. Hence the concept of the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah. Right.
So we need to be really careful of how we behave in front of our kids mm-hmm. and the things that we say.
Mm-hmm. And it's always the other person. It's never the one who's being picked on. You know, it has nothing to do with the color of your skin
no.
or who you are, or if you're an American in a different country. It has to do with the other person projecting their ish
you're right.
onto you and what they've grown up learning and all their issues. So
that's what bullying is all about. People feeling helpless. Trying to feel in control and insecure.
It makes me mad.
Me too. All right, well, I think we should do a segment on laundry. Honey, can you stay around?
Oh, God. Okay.
Have you been hit with overdraft fees or penalty fees? Do I even need to ask you? I think we've all had this happen to us throughout our lives, and guess what? It sucks. It's awful. It's not fair. You lose hard-earned money, and on top of that, you just get really down on yourself. Well, you know what? There's a new company called GoBank. This is the checking account that lets you say goodbye to big banks and their big fees. It's been all over the news. They've gotten rave reviews. They were even featured as the best new app in the Apple App Store. So you can go to GoBank's award-winning app. You can deposit checks. You can send money to friends. You can pay bills and more. You get 42,000 fee-free ATMs. That is twice as many as Bank of America or Chase. You can sign up in minutes at GoBank.com or on their app. Apply even if you've been turned down at other banks. GoBank is a paid sponsor of this podcast, and you can learn more about their simple fees at GoBank.com/no worries. All right, guess what? This read is going to be from me. It's my product. It's my clothing line with Kmart called Impact. Yes, a true line of awesome fitness apparel that performs fantastic, that looks fantastic, and that's, guess what, affordable and accessible. So all joking aside, we have focused on core training, yoga, running, and even
an athleisure or athletic lifestyle for those cool sweatpants, the cool jackets. You know what I'm talking about? This line reflects my passion for inspiring and empowering women, as well as Kmart's commitment to providing quality and affordability in fitness-related categories. So all you've got to do is go to Kmart.com right now, check it out, and guess what? You can save an extra 10% off of Impact by Jillian Michaels with the code Jillian10. Now, this deal ends Saturday, February 21st, so head over to Kmart.com right now before the end of the week if you want to take advantage of this discount offer.
I pulled an article that's not stereotypical to the show, and it's from Real Simple Magazine, and it's about laundry. And I pulled it for a reason. Honey, are you there?
Yeah.
Why don't you? It's called 12 Laundry Mistakes You're Probably Making. You wanna tell people how you feel about laundry?
Well, what do you mean, that I do our own laundry?
No, you obsessively do our own laundry.
I don't trust anyone else to do our laundry, so I do it.
We have a housekeeper, by the way. That's
you don't let the housekeeper do your laundry?
No, she's been with me for 10 years.
Nope.
Tell her.
Because there have been incidents of shrinkage and whites turn gray and things like that. So I just feel like I'll do it. And
you're bound to have some casualties, though.
I guess, but I feel like it's less if I do it.
This is a big deal.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, it's obsessive. So I pulled this for Heidi, and I
see what I'm doing wrong.
No. I pulled it so that I can educate all of our listeners in a way that might make you happy. And I thought you could weigh in here, babe.
Okay. I mean, I don't think I'm an expert on laundry. I just like to do our laundry.
Okay. Well, honey, why don't you weigh in here? Are you guys ready? This might be shocking.
Okay. We're ready.
Okay. Too much detergent is a bad thing, because suds can hold dirt that would normally get pulled from clothes, and then it gets caught in areas that won't always rinse clean.
Wait, can I stop for a second?
Yeah.
Do you want to make this as a quiz?
Oh, yeah. How should we do it?
So quiz us. So
say, all right, ready?
So the first one would be like
a full load of laundry, or full dose of detergent, or a half dose?
Or something like, yeah.
Got it. All right, are we ready?
Or is more detergent better?
Is more detergent, is a clean clothes better?
Got it.
Less.
All right,
yeah.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. I'm going to turn this into a little quiz and test your laundry knowledge. Is more detergent better or worse?
Better.
I always put, if I have a dirty load, I just put a little extra.
Honey?
Same.
I measure it to the exact line that it says.
Mm. Look how anal. Okay, well, you're all wrong. Less is more. Half the amount of detergent than you normally use is better to gradually clean your clothes. It says excess suds can hold dirt that's been pulled from the clothes and then get it caught in other areas that don't rinse clean. And it can cause bacteria buildup.
Huh? I just don't get it, because you see this huge load and you put this tiny amount of soap and it's like, how is that cleaning that whole load?
No, I'm telling you.
And it no is. Suds, and you just feel like you need to see white, fluffy suds.
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's an indication of a very harsh chemical cleaner, by the way. Okay. Now, when you load your washer, how should you do it? As in, what's the protocol? Detergent first, clothes first, water first. What do we think?
Well, I think it depends if you're a top loader or a front loader.
Oh, okay, you're a top loader. Autumn thinks she knows. Well, you're going to have to come over here and jump on a mic. Okay, it's a top loader. It says a top loader. What should you do first? Go, Autumn.
Well, I think you're supposed to put the water in with the soap first.
Oh, my God, she's right.
That makes sense. Because you want it to be soapy and you want it to prepare the water for the clothes.
And if you just dump your powder on top or underneath, if it's powder that you're using,
it was meant
stuck
to prevent residue on the fabric and the machine.
Oh, see, I put the soap in, then I dump the load in, call it a good day.
Well, it says most detergents nowadays are not harmful to clothes the way the old formulas were, as long as you're not using bleach. It says you don't have to add the clothes after the water because clothes can float.
Instead, it says use, ooh, hold on. It says use this order. Oh, no, it's changed. Huh? Clothes, then water, then soap.
That's the right way to do it?
Yes, it is.
So you pour the soap onto your clothes? I thought the clothes absorbed the soap and then only that top
layer.
That's not anymore.
Modern detergents are not harmful to clothes.
So clothes, start the load,
clothes,
and then put the soap
load,
in.
Load, water, then soap.
Too much time.
Yeah, so, but then that means, right, you have to start the load because mine won't wash.
I don't know.
Like the I have to wait for it to fill and then remember to come back when the water is full to add the soap?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
No,
I'll forget the soap.
But I have a front loader, so I have a little compartment that I put in all my little things, and then I shut it and turn it on, and it knows when to put the soap in.
Oh!
Fancy!
Yeah. Fancy schmancy.
All right, now, what should you do with your pants? Your jeans?
Turn them inside out.
Is that really what you... Okay, but you're... That's not it, actually. The number one thing that you need to do to...
Cold water.
Not to prevent damage to other clothes.
Oh, she said it.
What'd she say?
Did she say zip it?
Zip it. Yes.
God, Heidi, you are good.
Yes,
I know why you do your own laundry.
She's an
expert. Yeah. Metal teeth can snag delicate and woven clothing that's being washed in the same load. But it says that what it can do is it can stress the buttonholes. So make sure that it's unbuttoned, even though it's zipped. Those are some serious rules.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to know this stuff?
I don't know.
This is not handed down from mother to daughter. Mm-mm. Or from father to son, by the way,
no.
For fear of being sexist.
Mm-mm.
I've never heard this before.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
How do you know this, Heidi?
Yeah, how do you know this, Heidi?
Maybe my mom.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
My mom didn't do that.
To use bleach or not to use bleach?
I'm anti, but...
I mean, I thought bleach was for, like, whites. Like, you put a little bleach in there to get the whites, you know, a little more white. But I don't know. I don't know what it is for.
Anyway. I'm just questioning all my laundry knowledge now. I'm intimidated to answer because I would have said a resounding cocky, yeah, bleach.
Yeah, bleach.
Bleach, yes. Dilute it in the water for whites and they come out all lovely.
No.
See?
No, it says that you should think twice, that you don't need it to get rid of protein stains like blood, sweat, and tears. It says that you should use natural options because they are much healthier for you and much better on the clothes, like lemon slices.
Oh, wow.
Lemon slices?
Wow.
Wouldn't that
what
get,
does
like,
that do?
Pulp everywhere? It naturally bleaches the clothes and disinfects them, honey.
Wow.
Oh, look at you, Mouse.
We stumped you.
We stopped
you.
Yeah,
I don't know that one. I just use the Honest stain remover, and that's it.
Oh, well, look at you sucking up to the Honest company for free swag. Okay.
Let's try the lemon thing.
They might have lemon in there, though. I don't know. They could.
Interesting.
Let's give it a shot.
When doing loads of laundry, should you go back to back, or should you pause before running the dryer in subsequent cycles? Oh, you're just stumped, aren't you?
It's just too much. Thinking. I mean, really?
This is serious.
Why is this important?
Well, because it's important to Heidi.
Okay.
It's not. I mean...
Don't lie.
No, I mean, why? Okay, doing laundry. I don't know. Maybe the energy factor?
Is yes! Huh. Back-to-back
energy.
Loads.
Oh,
back-to-back loads.
Pulls right. The grid.
Yes.
We care about the planet. We care about this. I take it back.
See? Aha!
Oh, you got me.
And it helps your energy bill.
What? Ah, that's a great one, then.
Yes. All right.
All right.
Last one. Can anybody give me their dryer de-wrinkling strategy before I tell you what you should do? Anyone? Anyone?
Dampen the clothes a little bit beforehand.
I throw those little things in there.
The balls.
Not the balls, but the little sheets.
Dryer sheet.
Like
none of this is on the list. Autumn?
Wrinkle releaser. I'll put it in with like a wet washcloth or like a damp towel.
What?
What? Yeah, that makes sense
it
to
steams
me.
Steams it.
Okay. Well, you're all wrong.
Wrong?
Oh. Here's what you do. All right. Don't overpack the dryer. Because then they don't have a chance to sort of stretch out and de-wrinkle. The medium heat cycle with a cool down period at the end is a proven crease curber. And immediately upon removing from the dryer, you must
shake them out. Shake them out, baby. Oh. And last but not least, it says, here's a sock-saving tip. Place socks in the washer tub first, so they're less likely to attach themselves to other garments and go missing. Yeah. Yes, thank you, Real Simple.
Hey, I've, also, I've heard the clothes pin your socks together, but who has time for that, really?
What?
To clothes pin your socks together so they don't get lost or separated, but I think that takes too much time.
Clothes pin your socks together?
I would never do that. But
who even has a clothes pin nowadays? It's not the 50s. We don't have a dryer line outside. Clothes pin? Honey, this
I have clothes pin.
Why?
For the garden.
Okay.
That was actually one of my favorite segments.
Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Good one.
Thank you.
Good one, Julian Michael.
Thank you, sir.
And what were your other ones? Just kidding.
Okay, honey, no. Nobody
I love that. Nobody, that's going in.
No, nobody likes a smart ass, honey.
The National Academy of Sports Medicine is looking for people who want an exciting career in the fitness industry. You can wake up every day helping people, taking care of your own health, and doing something you love. NASM trainers are improving people's lives by helping them reach their health and fitness goals. And guess what? The demand for these trainers is huge. Imagine waking up every day and being excited to go to work. Not to a job with a horrible boss, but to a rewarding career where you work for yourself. Getting paid to stay in shape, help others reach their fitness goals, it doesn't get better than that. You set your own hours, you can work in health clubs, sports clinics, corporate wellness, and you love who you work with. So do what you truly enjoy. Get paid for it. There's no better time than now to get started on your certification with the National Academy of Sports Medicine. Plus, NASM guarantees that you'll land a job as a personal trainer within 60 days of earning your CPT certification, or they will give you your money back guaranteed. So you've got nothing to lose. If you've been thinking about it, stop and take action. Go to myusatrainer.com for a free 14-day trial of their fast and fun online program. That's myusatrainer.com. Restrictions apply. Just visit myusatrainer.com for details. To the runners, the lifters, the weekend warriors, the triathletes, injuries are a fact of fitness, period. If you don't want to slow down for ice therapy, get Arctic Ease Instant Cold Wraps. You've never experienced anything like these wraps before. It's cold therapy you use while you're still active, so you can run, bike, lift, and keep your joints and muscles wrapped and cool. Arctic Ease wraps stay in place while giving you similar recovery benefits to ice therapy. The surprise thing, there is no freezer needed. The sleek design fits comfortably with no bulky ice. They're reusable, clinically tested, and proven effective. Just put Arctic Ease on and you've targeted instant cold and compression therapy where you need it, when you need it, before, during, and after exercise. For pain, swelling, injuries, you can safely use Arctic Ease for instant, long-lasting cold compression therapy even while you're training. So you gotta try this to believe it. Don't put your training on ice. Get reusable Arctic Ease cold wraps at your local retailer and get instant cooling relief when and where you need it. Or you can visit arcticease.com.
All right, Jillian, we have Jenny on the line.
Hey, Jenny, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So I understand you just had a little one.
Yes.
Well, the good news is that one of my closest friends, Andrea Orbach, is here with us in the studio today, who happens to be knocked up herself at the moment.
Yes.
And is also a fitness expert, but also a pregnancy fitness expert. So she's going to be tag teaming this question to try to help you out a little bit here.
That's great. And actually, her workout is what I was doing when I was pregnant.
Andy!
Yay!
Look at you, dude!
Look at us!
Look at you! So tell us what's going on.
Okay, so around 30 weeks, I developed pregnancy-induced hypertension.
Yep.
And about 34 weeks, the doctors told me I could no longer work out. It wasn't safe. So then they put me on bed rest because I developed preeclampsia, and then they went ahead and decided to induce 2.5 weeks early.
Okay.
Well, I've now since been to my 6-week post-delivery appointment, cleared with no restrictions. My question is, what's the best way to ease back into working out, to get into a good groove, so I don't overdo it, but yet I'm still doing something that will get me back into, you know, 4 or 5 times a week at a higher intensity.
Sure. So let's treat it a little bit like an injury where you had to refrain from moving. You had restrictions because of what had happened. And now that you've got the clearance, basically that's the green light to just start progressive again. So because you were active before and during, even though there was a cessation in exercise when you had preeclampsia, your body still has muscle memory the same way it would as if you broke a leg, for instance. Mm-hmm. So get back into it slowly like you did before, and then see how you feel and progress. The same advice that they would give anyone who's getting back into it. So do the really crucial things, especially like through childbirth. You didn't have a C-section, it sounds like. You had a canal birth. Is that correct? Yeah. So you want to do your lumbar work. You want to strengthen your glutes back up again. You want to do your structural stuff. You want to get back on the mat and do your core conditioning and get all that, and then start to do intervals. Jillie and I are both advocates of more intensity versus, like, you know, boring dreadmill 45-minute workouts.
Dreadmill?
Dreadmill.
Right. I've not heard that one, Andy.
And no one wants a dreadmill, but anyway. So, you know, you're going to do two minutes at a time at a certain intensity. You're going to recover. You're going to do it again. The next workout, you're going to add 3 or 4 more sets of said 2-3 minute intervals, and then start to volumize the movements and the load, get back into that training again, and then just see how you feel progressively. I feel like the key is just moderation, and you're already a jock, so you know how to go there and do threshold work. Just continue to do it. Science is on your side. Your good behavior has been, you know, the key that's going to get you back just as fast.
Right. How often would you suggest then to start out?
3 times a week and see how it feels. You can always
modify. Sounded like a lot to jump back in.
Yeah.
Right.
Just only because of, like, everything you've been through. And I'm so sorry. You just had the baby 6 weeks ago, right?
Well, she's 7 weeks now.
7 weeks.
Right.
Okay. I kind of, Andy, you once said this, and it really resonated with me. Like, if you need a minute, by the way, give yourself a minute. Like, you're like, I'm going to jump back in 45 times a week. What's it? And I feel like you almost feel like, I got to get back. I got to, you know, this is what I got to do. And maybe I'm just reading into this, but I feel like there's a little bit of that going on. And if... 3 times. Give yourself a second.
I love 3 times.
Give yourself a second.
You can always make it 3 times more intense. If you're breastfeeding, you want it. You're in the fourth trimester, girl, and you're going to be there for another 6 months if you're going to be lactating. And so you have hormones on board. You have all the hormones that are now leaving your system to allow your bones and your hips to come back together. So you're still going through structural changes biologically.
Right.
And so let's accommodate those a little bit and then see how it feels. So go 3 times. And if those 3 times need to be 10, 15 minutes longer because you have the energy and baby sleeping and you want to do it, add on a 4th day in 2 weeks. It's not going to harm you. It's only going to give you the time to progress, to let your body catch up.
Exactly.
You just ran life's biggest marathon. It's okay if you chill.
It sure is.
Yeah.
What a great way of putting that.
Yeah.
That's exactly, I would imagine, what it must feel like.
Yeah, so you wouldn't see a marathon runner go, you know what, I need to start doing my splits again and getting into my long days. You refrain, and then you approach it again. And the more time you give gradually, eat well, make sure baby's sleeping, make sure you're sleeping, get in all the necessary things you need to do structurally so that when you start lifting heavy again, you've got those biomechanics there for you. Get your glute strength up, get your ab contact back, you know, make sure you're doing all your planks and the things you know to do. Add on more time to your planks. Like, work on the foundation and then jump off that platform. Give yourself one more month to add 1 or 2 more days on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You just ran life's longest marathon. For God's sakes.
I'm just one of those that have always looked at myself and always, you know, wanted to look as good as I could. And, you know, So,
I hear all of that in your voice for some reason. And I just think, honey, it's what Andy said. You just ran life's longest marathon.
Yeah.
Give yourself a second, honey. You know, it's okay.
And that's why I wanted to ask, because I knew if I jumped back in without asking, I would probably overdo it. And yeah. And hurt something.
And imagine having an injury and then being like delayed for another month because you weren't able to get your body back. If you need an active recovery day, do a little more flexibility stuff. Do your reverse bridges. Do all your core work and consider it like physiotherapy so that you're doing recovery work to justify harder days that when you do go back. And then at least you feel like you're doing something. Eat really well.
Okay.
And then go harder like that because you need the structural work. So maybe reserve those for the days that are active recovery. And the other 3 days, do your, you know, your hardcore workouts again.
Okay.
Congrats, Mommy.
Well, thank you.
Exactly. Yes. Congrats. That's right.
Thank you very much.
All right, sweetheart. Thank you so much
for
calling.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I like, yeah. Yeah. Jeez. Give yourself a second.
1 minute.
Yeah, a second. Life's longest marathon. Mm-hmm. Boy, it just sure did seem like that as Heidi's little partner, too.
Oh, man.
I just was like, wow, this is, it's brutal from the sidelines. Sometimes you wish, you know, I was like, oh, I would run this mile for you, but no can do.
No.
And then
can
when
do.
I saw that she couldn't drink or ski or eat cheese or sushi, I was like, maybe I won't run this one.
No.
Because I get the kid anyway.
Yes,
I could cheat it.
I would have.
I got the kid anyway. I drank the whole time.
I would have gladly traded with Tate. They talk about, oh, it's an experience. Wait, just wait till I'm in the delivery room. I am not going to be. Mm-mm.
Take the drugs, Mama.
I'm taking them.
Take the drugs. Today's episode was brought to you by Boo Box. This is a subscription box focused on health and wellness. You get everything like cool supplements, fitness DVDs, beauty products, and more. Each month, they're going to send you 4 to 5 different things to try. Recipes even come with this product. It's the bomb. And the best part is that for every $10 box, you get $10 back in reward points. That's $10 you can use to get more of whatever you liked best in your box. It's a killer deal. So it introduces you to a host of new, awesome health and wellness products that you may have never even known about, or stuff you love that you just get every single month, people. Bulu Box is offering you a chance to get $20 off a 3-month subscription if you go now to bulubox.com/Jillian. That's bulubox.com/JILLIAN. 3 months for $10. When you visit bulubox.com/Jillian. So here's to discovering a healthier you, people.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.